some reflections about Tubav to understand why it's like, you know, from the biggest Yom Tovim, Chazal say Tubav and Yom Kippur. The Gemara says in Tanya, so the two biggest Yom Tovim Klal Yisrael had. And we know that it was a big Shiduchim day. You know, that's one thing we know, that the girls used to dance in the vineyards, and it was a big preparation for, you know, men to select wives, you know, and that ritual must have something to do with the essence of the day, so which needs to be understood. Chazal said on this day they overturned, they found a source to overturn the halacha that the tribes are allowed to intermarry, because by Benos Slavchad there was a halacha set up that people should only marry within their tribe, and on it was the day Tubav that they overturned that halacha. It was on the day of Tubav that they annulled the road passes that were barring people from going to the Beis HaMikdash. It was on the day of Tubav that they discovered that miraculously all the dead of Beitar had miraculously not they disintegrated, and their corpses did not smell. And further than that, they even were merited to be miraculously buried. And Chazal are talking the bracha Matova Meitiv that we say when we go from one wine to a better wine, or we say it also when we hear amazingly good news that pertains to more than one person. So they were talking that bracha in connection, inspired to be talking that bracha by Beitar, which is also part of our benching, right? Our benching, the last that the fourth, blessing of Birkas HaMazon, okay, is bracha v'atov v'ametiv, and it's because atov shelo yisrichu v'ametiv shizoch al kugura. At first, it was good that their bodies didn't decompose, and it was even better. Akashu did further kindness that he buried them. So, one would think that it's a miracle and it's nice, but one would think that it pales in comparison to terrible tragedies, like a tremendous number of dead in Beitar, a tremendous amount of people died. So it's very nice that their corpses didn't disintegrate, but you would think that that's like just a very small silver lining in a terrible, terrible dark cloud of a terrible tzara. But yet Chazal saw in it a tremendous thing, and we're talking the bracha v'tova meitiv, which is the bracha of l'asim lavo, in this world we make that us, and in the future we'll only make the bracha v'tova meitiv. So you have to understand what Chazal see in this day, and what's the unified inner message behind all these events that is the essence and the simcha of Tubav. Now, it's well known there are 12 permutations of the divine name Yud Kei Vav Kei, because since two of the letters are the same of the four, there are two hey, so two of the identical letter, that's why there are only 12 permutations and not 16 permutations. And we know that from the writings of the Ari and the Mekubalim that the 12 permutations are parallel to the 12 months of the year. And indeed, the month of the year that's parallel to the name Hey Vav Yud Hey Havai, which is, it's permitted for us to say that. That's the one permutation of divine name is permitted to say, because it has a profane meaning. It has two profane meanings. One profane meaning is existence, and the second profane meaning is marriage. Makish Havaya Liyitziya, right? The Talmudic term for getting marriage is Havaya, right? V'yotza v'haysa li'ishachem, she will be to another man, v'haysim, she will be, is a term of getting married. It's actually biblical and Talmudic, right? So it has two profane meanings, two non-holy meanings. That's why we're allowed to say, pronounce that permutation, because it doesn't necessarily mean a divine name, whereas all the other permutations, they have no other meaning other than the divine name itself. So the other permutations, The other permutations, we only say Yud K Vav K. We don't say the letters. We don't pronounce them because these other permutations have only a holy meaning. They don't have any type of intelligible profane meaning. So to understand why what this has to do with the month of Av. Right, the month of Av supposedly is, one would say, God forbid, for lack of a better word, you'd say it's a bad month, God forbid. Right, but what do we mean by that? God is infinitely kind, right, and only has our good on his mind. So the we just say that God's goodness is actually hidden, Hester Panim. God has hidden his goodness, right? Because God cares and loves the Jewish people, and he chose us out of pure omnipotent love. So there's nothing that could thwart that love. So what we have to say is simply that God's love is hidden, and that's really what the divine name that's proud to this month, the divinity. It's a certain permutation of the divine name where the divinity of the name is hidden, right? Because this permutation of divine name has profane meanings also, so it's camouflaged, the fact that it's a divine name. It's camouflaged. But even in this camouflage, if you look deeply into this camouflage, you'll see the divinity. Because, what are the two profane meanings of the word Havaya? Existence. God, as much as we sin, he still gives Havaya, he still gives existence. He never stops providing existence, right? He is the source of existence. Haya, Hayve, V'yeh, Ma'ave, Sakal, he's constantly giving existence. That shows the hidden kindness, that even though it has a profane meaning, existence, but where does existence come from? The source of existence is God. God hides within the world. He hides within existence. That's what the Sfarim say. Olam, right, another word for the word world. Olam, right, is Milashin Halim, Milashin hidden. God hides within existence, because where does existence come from? Not from God. So, he hides behind existence, but through existence, you could look through existence and find him, because existence comes from nowhere else except God. Havaya means marriage. The Jewish people are married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's our husband. The man of Shir Shirim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one of Shir Shirim is the Jewish people. We're married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So, so the month of Av is a month of hidden kindness. But we go a little bit deeper. Why is the highness of the kindness hidden? It's hidden because it's too big for us to appreciate. Right? It's just the kindness is too big. The Gemara says in Brachas, there are three good gifts that God gave the Jewish people, and he didn't give them except in any other way other than through pain. So Sfarim explain, right? The gift of Torah, Eretz Yisrael and Olam Haba, they're so good. The goodness is just, on a frequency that's beyond our mind to grasp. It's on a whole wavelength that we can't tap into. It's too good. So initially it feels like pain because we haven't learned yet how to appreciate it. But the pain is a process by which we can learn to appreciate it. The pain, first of all, takes off the gives us kapara, takes off the effect of our sins, right? So the pain refines us, the pain purifies us, and we learn things from pain. Painful lessons are the ones that we remember the most, right? So little by little, right? The pain helps us. It's initially painful because we don't have the ability to appreciate what's going on. Right, but it's an acquired taste, and the pain in itself enables us to acquire the taste. Right, and that's what I heard from my Rebbe Moshe Shapiro. It's well known in Lashon HaKodesh, right, that you know, the doubling the last letter of a word is, you know, connotes it being small. Like katan, tan is very small. Elil is a small power, so we call idols elilim, because the word el means strength. Elil, a little strength. We're making fun of the idols. That, you know, people think they have great strength, and we say they're little. Elil, right? So Nisan, which is the month of miracles, called Chodesh Ha'aviv. Aviv, says Mary Moshe Shapiro, means little av, meaning the great glory of the month of Nisan, which is a month we very much appreciate. It's just small. It's small in comparison to Av, right? The month of Av was supposed to be the happiest month of the year, if not for our sins. If the Meragim would have come back and told the truth about Eretz, so we would have gone into Eretz on Tisha B'Av with Moshe Rabbeinu, and would have been a tremendous tikkun and a day of greatest happiness, like Tisha B'Av will indeed be in the future. The goodness that's in Chodesh Av has to be hidden, because of our sins it has to be hidden, because it's so good it's beyond our ability to appreciate. But when we reach the middle of the month of Av, Tu B'Av, the middle of the month of Av, when the moon is full, so the full power of the month comes out, it's impossible not to feel some of the goodness of Av bleed through, because the power of the month that's full, its intensity, so some of that hidden goodness that's hidden because it's too good, some of that hidden goodness comes out. Some of that hidden goodness emerges. Right. And that's it. You know, this day they had tremendous chidushim to overturn halachas, you know, that, you know, the goodness that's hidden in the Torah came out. The deeper insights in Torah came out. So they overturned certain laws that they didn't have the insight how to overturn before. Right? Certain impasses we've got past. Right? On this day they see that with how God, you know, how, as much as there was terrible death and desolation with the Churban HaBayis, it was coming from love, because if God really spurned us, and he did because he hated us, God forbid, right? So then the corpses would have decomposed, right? And they certainly wouldn't have been buried. The fact that God did a miracle, right, for those that were killed in course of, you know, the destruction of the Second Commonwealth, so, you know, it was coming from love, and it was something necessary. It was like surgery that was necessary. So the kindness bleeds through, that really behind God's divine judgment is the greatest good. It's clothed in judgment, because that's like the sunglasses over it, because the goodness is too good for you to receive, so the Midas HaDin holds it back from you until you get enough refined and you grow up enough to appreciate it. So the Midas HaDin holds back this goodness. So the Midas HaDin is the sheath, right? The divine attribute of judgment is the sheath around this goodness, right? You know, make it painful until you're worthy to get it. But on Tu B'Av, some of the goodness breaks through, right? Because the month reaches its height, it's the strength of the month. So the hidden goodness bleeds through, and we can't help but feel some of that hidden goodness, because it's just the power of the month of Av is shining with all its intensity. So the hidden goodness breaks through, right? So this is the simcha of Tu B'Av, right? And on this day, it's why it's a marriage day, because the word Havaya means marriage. And on this day, you know, the hidden, the profane meaning of the word Havaya is marriage. It was a wedding day because, you know, this goodness is so good. It's the ultimate love between Hashem and the Jewish people. It's the ultimate love, right, that we can't appreciate on a day-to-day basis, right? It penetrates on the month of Av, right? And when you reach the center of Av, it breaks through. And we feel that the hidden love between us and Hashem, which is the deepest love, it's hidden because it's so deep. And on that day, as an expression of love between the Jewish people and her husband, Hashem, so parallel that, there was a big shirach day amongst the Jewish people themselves to parallel the revelation of the deep, 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 and therefore hidden, because it's so deep and hidden, intimate love between Knesset Yisrael and Kodesh HaBrichu.